This is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning, sitting here with my partner, Tim DeChekwai, and today we're going to talk about what's like got Ohio and college football stirred up, NIL, transfer portal, the young recruits, what's going on in the high school level, and commits, non-commits. But first, we got to...
Yeah, before that...
Pay some bills, right?
Yeah.
Ain't that what they say?
Well, show business? In Ohio, it's about to be legal
right.
to gamble, yeah. right? So, I mean... One thing, Bet Online is an opportunity to make that legal betting a little bit more efficient. So Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, game trends on Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, what else? Boxing, golf, right? So head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, that's so, good. Great, man. It's big. Like, Ohio and betting on, like, it's... I think it's rumored to be really big.
It can get crazy.
So yeah. It's going to be an exciting time. So we placing your bet. You place your bet with Bet Online. But today, we're talking about recruiting. That's where it really comes down to. There's been a lot of noise around Buckeye Nation about commits, decommits, yeah. Things of that nature. And we wanted to get into it. Chim, I know you had a couple facts on exactly, I guess, what's been going on the last, it's really been a week or so, when it comes to Ohio State and recruiting.
Yeah, so, you know, I think as Buckeye fans, we're kind of in a rut right now. It started off with the loss to the team up north.
Yeah.
Right? And then we got some hope, you know what I'm saying, with the opportunity to go play in a playoff and continue to maybe potentially get another chance at that team up north. But then you get all this news. You had the most recent was Dylan Raiola. You know, number one overall prospect in the 2024 class, yep. Decommit from Ohio State.
Quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Before that, you had Mark Fletcher, running back, who decommitted, four-star running back. All the talk was that, you know, it was about the money. It was like, you know, he wanted a certain number, and we couldn't, but allegedly could not potentially get to that.
You got to say anything allegedly.
Allegedly, right? Yeah. In the summer, we had some decommits as well. DeJohn Johnson, a cornerback out of Florida, 2023 commit. You had Ty Lockwood, who decommitted, four-star tight end, to go to Alabama. The question is, are these decommitments an issue? Or is it, you know, just the fact that social media, we're spread super fast now. Guys commit super early and change their minds because they're young and their kids, or do we have a problem on our hands? Are we not, you know, performing from an NIL standpoint, or is it just getting more competitive for Ohio State and security?
Yeah, so overall for me, I'm not a huge where did the high school kid land guy, to be frank. I feel we're Ohio State, right? We're going to have the best coach or one of the best coaches when it comes to each position on each side of the ball. And I'm big on development, right? So
yeah, it's important.
I was barely a three-star athlete. You was a pretty good athlete at three stars. And obviously you went on and had success in college and in the NFL level. I was able to perform on the college level, was able to make it to the NFL.
Yeah.
And I would say for myself, it was a pretty decent professional career. So it's like, to me, it's like, it's not a huge deal. It's like, you know, you play with the guys that's there. You develop, you work hard, you come up with a plan, and you go out there, execute, and win. Obviously, on the other side of that, most people say, hey, you win with players, right? You win with players. So when you start talking about losing some of the four-star, five-star guys that actually committed, then you might, you know, find that, it was, you know, let's look into that a little bit more and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you have, I think Malcolm Jenkins was probably a three-star. So we said we went with players. It's just true. And technically, the guys with the most talent. But I would say Malcolm was talented off the rip, right? But he was a three-star, right? I would say James Laurinaitis from his first start he was a pretty talented player. He played a little bit his freshman year, but his first start year two. Yeah, I would say he was pretty talented. He was a three-star. I was a three-star. Terry McLaurin just got a big payday recently. I think he was a three-star player.
Right.
So, I mean, a big chunk of it obviously is development. You know, I think you look at a guy and you, especially a high school kid, when you're trying to identify, is this a player or not? Like, evaluate him as a player. It's hard to evaluate his growth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I always tell people, when a quarterback goes off in year one, Baker Mayfield is a good example. He goes off in year one. I always tell people, his future is bright. However, he has to get better from year one to year two.
Right.
And he has to make another jump from year two to year three because everybody else is going to better account for how they're going to attack him and all that stuff. They know the flaws. So you always have to progress as a player. So development is big. That being said, is it an issue? Is it a problem? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's a problem. So the reason I say it's a problem is because I'm comparing now to in this coaching staff to what they've done before.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And they've consistently brought in the top guys. So, yeah, it's about development. When we played, we had a bunch of three-star guys who developed into really good players. But this was Trestle's approach. You know what I'm saying? Trestle got a certain type of guy. He got some top guys. He got some three-star guys who, you know, they did a good job of identifying talent within Ohio and then went out and found the guys outside of Ohio to supplement what they had. But if your approach is Ryan Day, if you're getting top guys, Chase Young, Bosa's, right, like top defensive ends, and you're not securing another top defensive end, I'm concerned because you're not doing what you've already done. That's my concern. I know it's about development. I know you got a great D-line coach and all that stuff, but if your success has been bringing in the best guys, and then I see a slip, then I'm thinking, all right, you're not following through with what you used to doing.
Right. And so I guess the big thing, and what's changed, right? The big change in the whole process of recruiting and things now is the NIL,
yeah.
Right? So is now we know that, or essentially a lot of times it's like some stuff, numbers you get is true, some stuff you know is kind of fluff.
Yeah.
And made up, but now you understand that you can actually approach a kid and say, like, hey, if you come to my school, we know XYZ people who will be able to sign you a contract and you'll be able to make XYZ dollars. When a lot of, you know, when it comes down to it, a lot of people play football for that chance to be able to take care of their family at the end of the day with money.
Yeah, no question. So, I mean, if the money is, listen, man. 16 years old. Think about it, bro. I can't even imagine now. Like, 16 or 17 years old, somebody said, look, I'm going to pay you $300,000 to come here. Like, my goal, yes, is to make it to the NFL and all that stuff is great. But then I could do both.
I could do both.
I can get 300 bands to step foot on campus and start going to school and taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could still make it to the NFL. And oh, by the way, if it doesn't work out here, I can go transfer somewhere else.
Yeah, that's another thing.
So yeah. it's just
wild. I mean, to be honest, it's like we know it's a lot of regulation around it, right? So we know that you hear that XYZ players are getting paid this money to do this, especially when you start looking at quarterbacks or like you mentioned with the running back, where it really just felt like it was a money deal. That's what we would kind of speculate out of it. It came down to dollars. He wanted more dollars. Or some dollars to be some kind of guaranteed, and we wasn't able to do it, so the kid decommits. And
it's not always money, man. But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it's other factors to make, because a lot of times, like, we start talking about top recruits, and a lot of top recruits are, you know, usually in the South, the Southern states, right?
Yeah.
And they end up going to an SEC school. It's like, well, is that really that crazy that a kid that grew up in Georgia wants to?
Yeah, the kid from Florida decommits from Ohio State and
decides to go to
the place in Florida.
It's go like, to Miami, or you know, or you go to Alabama, or wherever you go to from there.
He probably saw the wind chill was -12 degrees, and like, you know what, man, I'm gonna go ahead and sit down here. They match the money, so I'm good there.
Right, exactly. So I mean, all those things are factors now when it comes to recruiting. So. Do I feel that Ohio State has a problem? I would say I don't think so until I see it on the field. Now, yeah. if we start to say, like, oh, we didn't do so great in this recruiting class, and then we come out in the season and we win, you know, we lose 3 or 4 games, and you can be like, oh, well, I've seen some issues that, you know, then maybe, okay. But in my mind, like I say, I don't think it's a huge problem until we actually are, you know, losing these games. I know you had a bit to say about depth, though. Like, you need
I think it's a problem from a depth standpoint. Now, if you look at the receiver room, it hasn't been – I mean, we talked about the guys with the committed, but, you know, you had a few guys commit, top recruits commit from the receiver room. Hardline, it looks like they're doing fine in the receiver room, and they have the level of depth moving forward from what it looks like so far. If you look at the cornerbacks, you had last year you had Ryan Ward leave and go to Texas, starting at Texas. Mm-hmm. Just defensive backs in general. You had
Brian Shaw.
Yeah, Brian Shaw, who played safety. Started like 10 games or something last year for Ohio State. Started for USC and when they played Utah in the championship. So he's playing for USC. You had, Lazond or whatever, the corner. He transferred out last year as well. And he was a pretty good player. I think he had an opportunity to play here. He wasn't going to be the name starter, but he would have got a lot of rotation of minutes, and he decided to leave. You have Jalen Johnson who's leaving this year.
Right.
You had a decommit at the cornerback position in the summer. I mean, at some point, just from a depth standpoint, it's like, yeah. Man, how many, you know what I'm saying? Because these corners, they play special teams. These guys run down on special teams. These guys run down on punt. Like, you need guys, and you see.
You got injuries.
Injuries. I mean, we've had 1 week Cam Brown plays, 3 weeks later, we don't see him for 3 weeks. I mean, who else is out there to play? Yeah. So, I mean, losing guys, and we're not bringing in a ton of. I haven't seen a corner coming from the transfer portal. So, losing guys from losing depth here, and then losing commitments. And then when you think about the way it is and this is where I feel for the coaches, like you commit, you're a recruiter player.
Right.
He commits to your university. Right. That means, okay, I'm set at this position. I got the guys at this position. Then you start recruiting that other player. Now that other player feels like, okay, they don't want me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So they go commit somewhere else. Then that guy decommits. So now you got that void to fill. Yeah. And now you got
basically lose 2 guys. Yeah. You lost a guy you thought was coming. And then, like you say, maybe with another guy out there that you wanted or had your eye on, like, well, we checked the box, right? Yeah. We filled the scholarship with this guy here. So he goes on and commits somewhere else. And then when that guy decommits, now you got to go back to the drawing board more or less in that position.
And we always think about starters. When a guy transfers, we're like, oh, he wasn't going to start.
Yeah.
All right, but what about the 2 deep? They got to practice. They got scout team. Like, you need depth. You need guys. A guy gets hurt, you need a guy to come in.
This knowledge of the system, right? You're in the system for 2 or 3 years. Like, maybe you're not the starter, but you're learning something.
And you got to compete. There's got to be a level of competition. Like, imagine being a starter and there's, like, nobody else on the roster. Like, no matter what I do, I'm going to play. Like, it's a challenge from a depth standpoint, and honestly, I don't know how you navigate it. Like, I don't know. So, like, moving forward, and not every decommitment is like,
yeah, initial. Right.
But if you always brought in top defensive ends, you can't get a top defensive end. To me, that's an issue.
Right. To me, you're crazy if you're a top defensive end. You don't want to come to Ohio State. Right. I mean, you look at the guys, the Bosa brothers. Just the numerous of guys that you see perform,
but did they get the bag day one? Though that's the thing. Like, some of these defensive ends is getting the bag day one.
And that's the huge change to college football, right? I mean, before you used to just go where, once again, everyone has the goal to make it into the NFL. So you go where you feel you have the best opportunity to play, to be coached well, and you put that perform on the field so you can go on to the next level.
Yeah.
And with NIL, like you said, it just kind of throws a whole wrench into it. It's a much more different things to consider. That, well, if I could go here now, maybe I don't get coached by Coach Johnson. Okay, I got to get coached by Coach whoever. But
I
was able to put 25, 30 grand in my pocket this year and maybe do that for 4 years and make 100 grand.
Right.
I can
take 10 grand and go get me a personal coach if I really need it. There's somebody out there. Listen, any corner who got a bag, and they're like, look, I need some outside help at the cornerback position. I am available and I am willing to build, to help you. If you need to, you know, take some of that money, step it aside and continue to learn and develop, I can help you with that. But anyway.
Yeah, but let's be frank though. I mean, you say, you know, I mean, that's one side of it, right?
Yeah.
But let's be honest, we're talking about athletes, right? So we're talking about guys that are confident in what they do. They believe that they're good. And now, since you made it to college and you're a 4 or 5 star guy and someone is offering you money, you feel validated in your thoughts.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Are you really going to, you know, do the initiative to really watch yourself and see where you're lagging at to improve? I mean, there's a lot of guys out here that are going to schools that may not be the best fit for them to develop. Maybe over NIL, maybe over a promise of NIL money, and they're going to hurt their career because they needed some development. Maybe they did have the raw talent, but they never got that development through the college years. This dude being in the program that didn't bring that to the table, didn't have the guy in the position to develop them.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that competition around them, like you was mentioning before, when you have good depth in the room, you're watching a first round draft pick go out there and perform. You watch him in practice. You watch him in playing games. You're no longer getting that.
Yeah,
we're talking about college kids. It's not the NFL. You're not studying everything. You're usually just kind of studying whatever the coach told you to study.
And you're raw.
You're gonna be raw. And you're not raw. Gonna get that feel anymore because you took yourself out of a situation to make money, and which is a reason why people do a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
With money. But you might take yourself out of a situation where you could have been better off in the long run, and you was thinking short term.
Right.
But you
might not, though. You might not have made it anyway. And that's one thing. Like, if we keep it all the way 100, a lot of guys aren't making it to the NFL. Matter of fact, majority of guys aren't making it to the NFL. A lot of these guys who get paid, they're not making it to the NFL, and they wasn't going to make it to the NFL. So, I mean, you really have to, it's hard to not grab the money because like there's a lot of uncertainty. Some of that uncertainty isn't that you wasn't going to be good enough. You wasn't going to develop. Some of the uncertainty is that you're going to get injured. What's the percentage chance of getting injured playing football? 100%. So all you thinking about is, all you know is I'm going to get hurt. The question is how bad, how serious, and what does it do to my career? So,
yeah, but I got to bring it back to what Tressel used to say. He always used to say this, especially when it's time for compliance. And obviously, we lost Tressel due to a compliance reason.
Yeah.
But he always just say, don't be penny smart, dollar foolish. So, you know, the NFL is the big goal. That's where we want to get to. That's where every player want to make it to that level of success. But sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture on the overall of everything if you want to go ahead and make
I'm 17 years old. The bigger picture is $300,000.
But those guys not getting that.
That's the big of a picture because my life has never been as that big. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think some guys are taking other facts. I mean, we've been able to secure receivers, and I think they see the blueprint.
Right.
Get developed here.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Get to be put on this big stage at Ohio State. I get the opportunity to be a first round draft. Now you're talking about big, big money, right? But man, some of these other guys, it's like, sure, I can go to the league and go to Florida. I go to the league and go to Mississippi State.
Yeah, it's all valid, but it's just something else that you kind of have to weigh in and think about, you know, when you're making these decisions. Like, you know, sometimes it's because someone may offer you the most. Doesn't mean that's where you should go. There's other things you need to weigh into that, because you know, and consider.
It's true, and I wish I could like help kids because there's no way for them to know. Their parents don't know,
right?
You know. So I would really like to talk to kids about the business of football now with the NIL and stuff, and help guide them on how to make a decision, what to factor in, and yes, money is something that you should factor in. However.
How much is it? I mean, really? I mean, is it, you know, if it's $20,000 and you weren't going to do nothing but take it and buy a car, like you really didn't do anything but get a car. So, but for Ohio State, that's what we're focusing on right now. Yeah. It's like, you know, so we got to think about, you know, once again, if we do feel it's an issue, we're losing that talent, that national talent that we usually, that we're accustomed to getting over the last, let's call it 10, 12 years since Coach Day has been control and Coach Meyer. How do we fix it? So I know we had mentioned before about maybe doing, and the Buckeye fans will probably agree to this, that we may need to start doing more work in Ohio and securing some of the guys that grew up looking up to Ohio State and always having that one of their goals in their life and their dreams of football is to be a Buckeye. Yeah. That might help fix some of
that's a big piece, you know, and even the understanding of the rivalry and the, you know, how important it is to prepare and beat that team up north. But yeah, I mean, that's something to consider is like, you know, you get a guy from Texas, right? Like even if he commits, even if he comes for a year, he can always go back to Texas. You know what I'm saying? Like you get a guy from Florida, and when he decommits and says, I'm going to the University of Miami, it may not be that crazy because, you know, he grew up maybe watching his team
right.
All this time. I grew up in Louisiana. I'm going to be honest. I was an LSU fan all the way. I committed to Ohio State. If LSU offered me a bag to go to LSU, that would have been a strong consideration.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you know, I might go to the team I grew up with. Mm. But, you know, I think that's a factor. I think another area is that transfer portal. Man, I think Ohio State is still Ohio State.
Right.
And we can talk about money.
Yeah.
Ohio State got some money offers.
Got some money offer, right? And we talk about alumni.
Yeah.
Ohio State got some alumni.
And when you talk about NFL and the percentages of making it to the NFL, your percentages, even though percentages are small in general, those percentages go a lot higher if you play at Ohio State.
Yeah.
If you get on the field at Ohio State, your percentage chance of going to the NFL shoot up so much higher than if you get on the field at some of these other schools. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a real factor. And guys, especially in that transfer portal, who have proven that they are, you know, elite or, you know, high-level college players, who are looking for a better opportunity to get to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a place where we can operate. I know Alabama has spent a lot of time in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
The players that are on the Alabama team have also spent a lot of time going into the transfer portal to go other places as well.
I see Michigan. I was seeing something earlier today or yesterday that Michigan already has 5 recruits out of the transfer portal coming to their team now, getting ready for next season. So they're doing some work there. I know Ohio State, like you said, I think we have an opportunity to do some work there as well.
We haven't done a lot in it.
No, we haven't. Yeah. I mean, I think we signed a long snapper, right? Yeah, so that's important, sure. Right? You got a long snapper is very important in the
shout
game.
Shout out to the long snapper. Shout out to the long snapper.
It looked like I hear some noise about us maybe pressing pursuit in for a tight end. Also, some noise out there around the offensive tackles. We're losing both our offensive tackles this year. Right tackle, Daoud Jones, left tackle, Paris Johnson. So we had 2 really good tackles this year and basically every year. And now that, you know, now that those 2 are gone, it's like it's just inexperience. I know we probably got some guys there that's probably capable, but they definitely don't have the experience of playing in big games. So there is some noise that Ohio State may be, you know, trying to work some magic in a transfer portal to kind of get some guys
in. I think they should, man. It's, to me, I call it college football free agency. But it's so much crazier than actual free agency. You have real contracts. We have contracts. These contracts in college are really informal contracts to come play for the money. But yeah, I think it's a real, not only is it an opportunity, it's a need because the depth issue. I mean, we're having guys, Ohio State doesn't have a ton of transfers, guys who are transferring out, but they have some, especially in certain positions, like the defensive backs specifically. I think we had a decent amount
of
people transfer. I think they need to go find some guys, if they're available. It's all based on availability in the transfer portal and sell them Ohio State drink because, I mean,
it's a good drink.
It's a great, it's an amazing drink. It's an amazing drink. You play with a lot of guys in the NFL that even are doing well in the NFL and all that stuff, but they still, like, damn, I wish I would have went to a school like Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Not everybody, but there's a decent amount who've played at other schools who performed well, made it to the next level, but they didn't. You know, they didn't get the opportunity to play at a school like Ohio State. So it's a real opportunity.
I mean, like you say, it's definitely ways. So if Ohio State is, you know, not doing so, let's call it so hot, quote unquote, with some of the high school recruiting, it's definitely ways to change that. We know Ohio high school football strong. I grew up in Ohio. I was an Ohio State fan. always had a dream of playing for Ohio State. When I got the offer, it was like a no-brainer. I'm going to Ohio State, yeah. Right? So you always could get talent like that out of Ohio. You're going to have a lot of kids in that same predicament. As in the transfer portal, now you're looking at guys that, you know, essentially you're not really – a lot of guys, it's not even almost a gamble. You could actually watch their film, their college film,
yeah.
And really decide, like, you know, if you think this player – fit in your system and be able to help you win games.
Dude from Pittsburgh won the Biletnikoff last season. Transferred to USC.
Yeah, that's
like dude, like he was the top receiver in football. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't technically the top. You know, we had a couple from Ohio State, but he won the war for top receiver in the country. He's solidified. Like, right. This is the guy. Answer the transfer portal.
Yeah,
wild thing.
It's wild. But that's life now when it comes to college football, at least for this time. Like I said, I think a lot of fans, us included, would like to see some type of regulation come into play. But I guess that kind of goes to another thing that's kind of weird that you could kind of speak to a little bit here is evaluations, right? So if you are a five-star quarterback, what is that worth compared to a three-star off of the tackle that's in the transfer portal? So you know that you played maybe at a smaller school, you're actually capable, so you want to transfer up. What, you know, I know you've been working with some technology around that to kind of, you know, value what a guy's worth.
I think it's a huge need just in general for NIL. Because there is a lack of regulation, and NCAA has kind of just created this wild, wild west, and probably in hopes to probably reel it back in the future. But, I mean, there's opportunities to create some systems or some use technology. I mean, it's 2022. Like, there's so much digital tools that we can use now. And what we're doing with Cloud Machine is actually being able to track metrics for each player to say, based on these specific metrics that – and these metrics aren't just on-field metrics. You know, what's the market that you play in? What's the school you play for? What is their alumni base, right? What is your stats? What is your social media analytics? How engaging are these players with fans? And how much are they attracting fans, followers, and all that other stuff? And be able to say, like, based on these factors, this is what your Cloud Machine score, your value should look like. And on top of that, there's a bunch of stuff you can do on top of that to actually create new solutions to actually attract some of these players, right? So now we know across the board what players should kind of attract from a value standpoint. Now, if we're a collective or if we're Ohio State, you know, what can we do to, one, help them increase those metrics? Right? How can we create more engagement with fans? How can we create solutions for fans who want the team to get better, who want to put money in, who want to do all these things, right? Be able to have some connection with the player in a way that the fan gets value because now they're connected to the organization. They get a little bit of a look behind the curtain or whatever. And then the player gets value because they're getting that money that they want. And, you know, I think just being Ohio State and having this level of, you know, strength and power, you know, Ohio State is such a big, it's so much bigger. That's why even the decommits, like the small decommits, and everybody's like, going crazy about the collective needs to do more. They're not doing enough.
Right.
Like Ohio State is such a big thing. You know what I'm saying? That the collective is one part of it that's going to, you know, play an important part, but there's so much more to it. And I think it starts with solutions. Like, yeah. You got to bring more technology, more solutions, more scalability to this entire marketplace and change it, man. Because I think the NIL is a real opportunity for players, but the way it's currently structured is not beneficial.
It's not beneficial. Right. You're gonna have
there's some benefit, but there's a lot of downside.
Yeah, when it comes to it, you're gonna have some guys getting a lot, some guys deserved, maybe not deserved. Gonna get some guys with little to nothing, and maybe if they was in a different circle or, you know, had some different connections, they could have been possibly accumulating some of these funds. But today, this was Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. We'd like to say that this show was presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is coming to betting. Gambling is coming to Ohio here soon. So if you're interested, be ready. Bet Online is the place to do it. Thanks.
Believe in Buckeyes.